My daughter said it to me now. Why does everything have to turn into a life lesson with you? Why can't you just, you know, why can't you just let us be? I said, because it ain't my job to let you be. My job is to make sure that every teachable moment I take advantage of.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And I'm so happy to have this guy. We're going to be talking about his new Netflix special, It Ain't for the Weak. It could also be tied into parenting, not just comedy and all that good stuff. But the one and only David Arnold. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
What's up, man? I always tell people it's David A. Arnold.
Okay.
Because you have to use the middle initial, because if people look me up and they look up David Arnold, they're going to get the white guy that does the soundtracks for James Bond, and that ain't me. They'll be like, this don't sound like the guy at all.
So my apologies. My apologies, David A. Arnold. Congrats on your special. Like I said, It Ain't for the Weak. It is so great. I was telling you before we started recording this interview, it was just like, I love the documentary after that. So it's like, I'm a comic geek, so it's almost like, you know, the end credit scenes in Marvel movies. You're kind of doing that, but there's more heart to it.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Before we get into your comedy special, but I think this also blends into it as well. Let's talk about fatherhood, man. When you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
Oh, am I ready? How am I going to tell somebody what to do? Like, am I qualified to lead another, to shape another life? Am I qualified? Like, I look at all the things that I've messed up in my life, and I'm going, I'm not qualified to tell anybody what they should be doing, there's no textbook. There's no blueprint. So everybody just does what they think, and you do what you think you didn't like that happened with you. You try to do different stuff. So, and who knows, maybe the way you was raised was just perfect. I don't know. That was my first thought. Like, am I qualified to even do this job?
No doubt, man. And I think, you know, just like, watching your special, watching even behind the scenes, like even your bio says, like, you know, the best kept secret in comedy. It's kind of like nice, but it's also like, I shouldn't be a best kept secret because my stuff is good. But
yes,
I think that, you know, especially into the scene where, you know, you kind of emulate your grandfather and talking about why comedy was built for you, right? And why you were built for comedy. That to me, like, tug at my heartstrings for the legacy point of it, for people like who know you, seeing who you are, right? So you and your wife, you're raising two daughters. I got two daughters. My wife and I have two daughters as well. I see that hard work and determination and grit are certain things I'm guessing you're going to instill into them. But before putting more words in your mouth, talk about some of the values you're looking to instill into them.
That, I think you hit it right on the head. You know, like, that is the thing to me that is the most important as a father, especially when you're raising daughters, is that you want to try to give an example of what a man should look like, and what, because they're going to, you know, probably attract to the same things, even not just the good qualities, but also the bad ones, you know. And I know my character defects and the flaws that I have. And I know, you know, the things that I can already see how my daughters react to me. I can take that and see how they would react to somebody else, you know what I mean? So I think that is my thing that I was thinking about as far as, you know, the things to pass on. I always tell my daughters, you know, and they're old enough now. I've been doing stand-up long before I even met their mother. You know, I've been doing stand-up 28 years. And for things to, in the last few years, to really be taken off the way they are now, they're old enough to really see it. It's kind of like, that when they were born, I wasn't already a celebrity. You know what I mean? Like, they've seen this transformation happen. And I think it's from them actually, as they grew up, they were able to witness the hard work. They were able to understand it. And now at 15 and 17, they really can see. You know, I was in New York a couple of days ago, and there is a huge electronic billboard with me on it on Times Square. You know what I'm saying? So, like, to be able to take a picture and send it to them and talk to them and go, you know, and let them, like, this is what hard work, this is what happens when you, you know, when you work hard, and they can understand that at this age. So those are the things that I want my daughters to see. It's like, you got to work, man. You got to work for what you want, and nobody's going to give it to you. And I try to, every light, like I talk about in the stand-up, through every opportunity that I have a life lesson. My daughter said it to me now. Why does everything have to turn into a life lesson with you? Why can't you just, you know, why can't you just let us be? I said, because it ain't my job to let you be. My job is to make sure that every teachable moment I take advantage of, because one day Yus is going to be gone and I don't want you coming back here asking me about something like I need you to know everything so you can't go outside and say I didn't tell you. That's why. So that's the reason why we're about to sit down here and you're going to learn how to load this dishwasher the right way so you don't go out in society loading dishwashers incorrectly and people look at you like an animal. That's why. So like there's some balance, but that's who I am, man. That's exactly why. Oh my God.
I love it, man. I was going to say, like, first of all, you learned that no participation trophies, like no one should get them.
No.
You learned that kids, their first car should never be a G-Wagon. And I love that, man. My first car was a Dodge Shadow. So I know, like,
see? Exactly. I don't even know if they make that car anymore. Do they even make that anymore? You had the last one. Exactly. I got a 1980 Toyota Tercel was my first car, and that was in 1988. So my car was 8-9 years old when I got it, and it was just, I think my grandfather bought it for like $800 is how much my car cost. My daughter said to me the other day, a Tesla's only $35,000. And she said it with the straightest face that I've ever seen. And I'm like, where do you get off? Like only 35, like she got that sitting around. Oh my God, these new kids. Oh.
You know, all joking aside, but talk a little bit about something that your daughters have taught you about life or yourself in general. And I think, and I'm not saying that comedians and people who look at human nature and human behavior can ace this question, but you know, again, mm-hmm. you're special. It ain't for the weak, man. You mm-hmm. pick up on people and you pick up on just behaviors. But what is something that your kids have taught you either about yourself or about life?
My kids have taught me patience, which I'm still struggling with. But they're old enough to articulate it now. They're old enough. My daughter's old enough to look at me and go, Dad, calm down. And I'm like, okay, you're right. Like before you just be yelling, I don't understand why you can't, you know, and they've taught me patience. They've taught me to be okay having things done differently than I'm used to having them done. That it doesn't have to be A, B, and C. It could be C, D, and G. It could be F, Y, Z. It could be X, T, and W. Like it doesn't. My daughter, Anna Grace, does not, she will put on two socks. They do not have to match. They've never matched. Okay. I want you to know that this child has never matched a pair of socks in her life. Okay. And when I tell you, it drove me batshit crazy. I'm like, why? What is wrong with you? Why is one of your socks white and the other one is yellow? Like what? There's, and you know, she says, it doesn't matter. She kept going, it doesn't matter. And I go, it doesn't, they don't matter. And then one day after like, I swear it was probably 3 years of me arguing with her about these socks. One day I just went, it doesn't matter. And literally that quick, it was over. Like literally that, it was like 3 years of me going through pain of why this child will not. And one day her answer was always the same. It doesn't matter. Daddy, it doesn't matter. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And then one day I went, don't matter. And now if I see her with matching socks on, I'm offended. I mean, her socks better after I've done all this work on myself. And what's so funny is I have a TV show that I created. You're looking at, this is one of the props from the set behind me. And it's called That Girl Lele, that's on Nickelodeon, right? And one of the characters that I created in the TV show, her name is Sadie. And she is based off of my daughter, Anna Grace. And it's a thing in the pilot about her not wearing matching socks. And that's the whole thing. It's like, why won't you wear it? She goes, it doesn't matter. And those are the kind of things that I've learned from my daughters, that things that they don't have to be my way. They don't have, my way is not the right way all the time. It's just my way.
Yep.
You know?
David, not the you, right you, way. you summed up parenting in a nutshell. 3 years for talking about back and forth about socks until you realize this is the hill I'm not going to die on. They can have it. They can do their own things, except when it comes to the dishwasher, right?
No, no. The dishwasher will be loaded correctly or heads will roll. Do you understand? I'm not turning on the dish. There's nothing worse than opening up a dishwasher and there's literally four cups at the top. First of all, why is there a plate at the top? Who the hell thinks a plate goes at the top of the dish? They don't even fit up there. They lay them flat down at the top and then put cups. Like, who? It's the most disrespectful thing that I've ever seen. It's a complete waste of water. It's a complete waste of my little pods. I've called many family meetings over this dishwasher. Many.
I wrote like a Dad Onion article where a dad reaches out to his school's like board of education to have a dishwasher 101 class because
they need
to teach their kids that. One more question before we get into It Ain't for the Week. Parenting hack, dad, or a piece of dad advice you'd offer to new dads, what would it be?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yep.
That, like, honestly, it does be, yes, there's some things that they need to know. There's some things that, you know, like I say in my special, you know, you got to take the life lessons that work and pull those through and leave the bullshit behind. Like, that is literally, my advice to dads would be selective or be open to realizing that your way is a way, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be that way. You know what I mean? I think you would save yourself and your child some heartache.
Yeah.
That would be my advice.
Great piece of advice right there from David A. Arnold. Now we're going to be talking about, obviously, It Ain't for the Week on Netflix. Such a great special. Yeah. But again, I love both. I love the special, but then I also love the little doc after just because it just shows everything, all the blood, sweat, and tears. And it shows, like, I love the fact that you say, like, it ain't for the week. I mean, I love the kind of like the circle of life, so to speak, from your special to the documentary where you kind of, you know, you tie that in where it ain't for the week. And it just goes to show you, like, if you love something, you have to go get it, right? Looking at you know, the special, and I know you've written for TV shows, you've had other specials before, you do stand up, but what are you most proud of with It Ain't for the Week?
That it's a culmination of all the things that I've been through as in my career, my 28-year career as a writer, as a producer, as an actor, as a stand-up. It's like, and my social media, how my social media played into the elevation of my career, my awareness. I'm really proud of how all of that came to be and reflected in this special. And just I'm the storyteller that I am now, the patience that I have on stage, and the fact that I know without a fact that I belong in theaters. Like, theaters is where I belong. And like, that's, and my stand-up is universal. I'm a Black man telling stories, but the stories that I tell are stories of life and human behavior that I just happen to be Black. It's not a Black story. It's a story. It's a, you know what I mean? I'd say this to people all the time when I'm performing. Like, everybody wants the same thing for their families and their kids and their wives. Like, I mean, wives want their husbands to not be idiots. Husbands want their wives to shut up. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you want your children to grow up and be somebody and get the hell out. Like, we all want the same thing, even though we come from different backgrounds. Most people want their children to be decent people. We want you to, you know, go away. You know what I mean? Like, we all want the same thing. So I try to lean onto those things that make us, I realize that we are more alike than we are different.
Yep.
And that is the thing that I try to touch bases on. And when I do my stand-up and family and parenting and all that stuff has always been my wheelhouse. Yeah. Even before I was married and had kids, like, that was, I wanted to be a dad on a TV show. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to do, even before I ever had kids, just because my father and my grandfather, they were the funniest people to me. So I was like, this is what I want to be. I want to be this. So that's what I'm most proud of with this special. I feel like it reflects and showcases all of that stuff very well.
Yes, sir. Definitely does. And you know, I love the honesty. I love everything you put in there, especially during the pandemic. You're talking about, like,
oh my God,
everybody was just getting on each other's nerves. And you're like, when you're on the road, you're like, you miss us? You're like, yeah, I'm good. So
I'm fine.
And,
yeah.
And I know, especially just there, you know, your wife and your kids are in your videos, your social media videos and all that good stuff.
Yes.
When they see people laughing at their own expense, I know they must have like thick skin, but like, what do they think of the special?
They, you know, my oldest daughter, Anna Grace, who I tell a story about her volleyball experience, is like, that's not how it happened. And I'm like, that's exactly how it happened, right? But like, I think Ashlyn, my youngest, what I'm realizing about her, she's really proud of the stuff. Like she gets, like the social media stuff that we do is, it's really gotten a lot of traction. Like I went from zero to millions of followers over all the platforms in like 2 years. So like, their friends follow me now. So it's a thing where it's like, once you get into their world, it becomes real. You know what I mean? Like when my daughters are like, oh, all my friends follow you on TikTok. She can't stand it. My oldest, you know, but like they rock with it pretty well, to be honest with you. I think the one part of them enjoys it. They really do. Cause we have fun when we make the videos and you know, it's just us being us.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And again, I love you showing the love that you have for your craft and the hard work you're putting in.
Yes.
And it's almost like the different places you were going before your special, it's almost kind of like, to put in football terms, like OTAs and, you know, training camp before you go in, right?
That's right. That's right.
When you're going into different cities, and obviously, mm-hmm. like you said, your stuff is universal. So it's like, all right, if this rocks here, I'm going to keep it in and all that. How tough was it? And like, was there more pressure for you for the special because of like, all right, this stuff is killing, so it should kill when I go on the Netflix. But like, what was like the training process of getting into, you know, shape, so to speak, for the special?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just like when you get in shape, when you do two-a-days, or when you do, you know, when you get in shape before camp, you get on, it's reps. It's doing it again and again and again and again, telling that same story, tweaking it, listening to it. I record every single set that I do and I listen to it. You know what I mean? I'll go the next day when I'm in the gym running, I'll listen to the set from last night and go, oh, that was good. Oh, that was not. Like it's just like what I do. So I think as a comedian, when you get better at doing it, we know how to tell a story. We know how to pick what works, what don't work. We know how to do all of that stuff. So like for me, that's the fun part for me now as a stand-up, like taking these raw ideas and cutting them up into a theme to where you have callbacks and you have, so yeah, that's what, it's just reps, man. I mean, I did that set no less than 100 times because, you know, I'm in a comedy club on a weekend and you do normally five shows a weekend. So you figure, you know, you're doing, you know, eight, you know, 10, 20 cities. That's, you know, you do this 100 times by the time I hit the stage. So I knew that it was ready. I knew what was coming. Like when I go get on stage, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. It's like boxing somebody who's boxing. You gonna get your ass whooped. I know you are, because these hands is good. Like, you know what I mean? That's how a comedian feels that's been doing the work. Yeah. Like, you know, so you go out on stage and you just know it's gonna work. So yeah, it's been it was great preparing for it. I'm already off to a new, that night I stopped. I haven't done those jokes since that night.
Okay.
And the next week I was in a different city and I'm doing a whole new hour and 15 minutes. And I'm announcing a new tour today. So like we're off doing a whole new, like I'm off doing a whole new 30 city tour, you know, with a whole new hour and 15 minutes of material. So I love it.
Nice, man. One more question before we go into the Father Quick Five, and I appreciate you being generous with your time. Congrats on starting up the new tour. Talk a little bit about your creative process. Is it hard to turn off that creative brain, or for you as a stand-up comedian and a writer, and obviously, you know, just everything that comes through your brain, are you glad that it's always on, or are you able to turn it off?
I'm not able to turn it off, but I'm not on. Like, you know, you're not somebody's on, right? Like, that's not me. Like, I'm never that dude. Like, I'm not a comedian that when I'm not on stage performing, I'm on. But my mind is, the way I filter life I filter it through a process that when I hear or see something, it immediately goes, oh, that would be good for stand up, or oh, that would be good for a television show, or this would be good for a movie. Like literally I can, when I absorb information and experiences, they settle in one of the places. It doesn't necessarily mean something you will, like if we were out to dinner, you would feel it. You know yeah. what I mean? It's not like I'm like, hold on, this is a moment. Like I'm not, this is a moment, right? I'm not like an idiot, but you know, I don't think I can turn off my creative mind, but I'm not a guy who's constantly on. I do not need to be the center of attention. I don't need to be the guy that's making everybody laugh. Actually, the more people that come around, the smaller I get.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be
yeah. jazz hand.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Like who does that?
Or like, come on, David, make us laugh. You're the comedian. You're the funny man, right?
And that's exactly what people say. And I always go, you're a doctor, right? So let me see you take somebody's spleen out and then I'll tell some jokes. How about that?
Yeah. Give me a physical for free. Come on, do your thing. Let's go.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That's exactly how I feel when people do that. When I go out to, and it always happens. You know what's so funny? I noticed though, this is what I will say. I've noticed that the more successful I become, the less people do that.
Okay.
Because in the beginning, it comes from a place, it's a little bit of a sarcasm.
Okay.
You're the funny guy. Make us laugh. Like, you know, since you're such a comedian. But then when they start to see, oh, this dude is like for real. Like yeah. he's like, now they don't, I get less and less of that.
Awesome. Right? Nice, man. Thank you very much for that. Fatherhood Quick Five, favorite family movie. Do you guys have one?
Well, yes, The Sound of Music is what we watch when we, during Christmas time. Mm. My wife, it's a tradition. She turns it on when that part comes up, the hills are alive, and her and the girl spin in a circle in the living room. Now, we are Black, and I when it first started happening, I was like, I don't know if this is it, right? But now it's just our thing, and the girls do it. They started doing it when they were 2. They're 17 and 15 now, and they still do it. Sound of Music during Christmas for sure is a tradition.
Love it, man. I love those traditions. That's great. Favorite family song, or is there an artist or a band you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Oh, Michael Jackson was a huge thing that they just gravitated for. I don't know if it's a favorite artist, but what I will say is that because my wife was a huge Broadway dancer. My wife was the third African-American woman to dance as a New York Radio City Rockette.
Nice.
And she danced online and she danced in many Broadway musicals. So we're a huge Broadway family. So we go to the Pantages here in LA. We have season tickets. What is our thing is probably Broadway musicals. Nice. Like when we go see a play, we'll have the musical and then listen to it. Like, and that will play through the house for the next, you know, month until the next thing comes up. So I think it's more of a style, a genre, than it is an artist.
Nice. Great. Love that. And again, you guys were doing this on your special and obviously on social media, talking about where you guys go on family vacations. For you, describe the perfect family vacation.
The perfect family vacation is me by myself on a golf course. No. I always say, when you got your family, it's not a vacation. It's a trip. It's just y'all in a different place, right? But yep. Our family vacations, we normally go somewhere tropical is what we've been doing lately. Like we went to Hawaii one year. We just came back from Cabo, I think a year before. We've done cruises. Nice. Now, I think our next one, we're going to the south of France where we're going next. So that, you know, that'll be our next. But we do try to travel and take the girls. We want to do the south of France. We want to do... I think we want to go to like Switzerland and do some other stuff like that. I want to take them, you know, all over.
And actually twirl like The Sound of Music there, right?
Exactly. That's exactly why. That's to exactly get them up on one of them rolling eels and let them do that. That's so exactly why.
Nice, man. I know you said you have a new special or a new, you know, thing you're working on right now and you're going to different cities, but if someone, and you know this, man, this never happens. Well, maybe it does happen. I don't know. You know this more than I do. You're in the entertainment field. But if someone said, like, David, giving you the green light, this is the project, what would you love to do next?
A sitcom starring myself as a father, raising, you know, a father, a family sitcom starring me as a dad. and you know, letting my the life experiences, letting my children teach me though. That's the thing that I think would be the smart angle that we're going to do.
Nice, man. Love that. And lastly, top three words you hope your daughters would use to describe you as a dad. What would you want them to be?
Reliable, understanding, and loving.
Great three words right there. People, make sure you follow David on Twitter at David A. Arnold. Check out his Instagram, the David A. Arnold, and check out his website, davidaarnold.com, and check out It Ain't for the Week on Netflix because it is a chef's kiss just with everything. Like you said, it's for everybody. But I love your journey. I appreciate your time. I wish
you
and your
family
continued success, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for checking out this week's edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net. And please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.